We do not test the resources of God until we trust Him for the impossible.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Having just been on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, a very high point in their lives thus far, Peter, James, and John came down from the mount to be confronted with a crisis of faith and progress. And in his message this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will take from this encounter three lessons that are key to the kind of mountain-moving faith that can overcome the schemes of the devil. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Mountain-Moving Faith.
A prize fighter was in the biggest boxing match of his life and was getting hammered. For by the end of the first round, his opponent had opened two large cuts on his face. As he sat in the corner waiting for round two to begin, his manager was able to close the cuts. And then he told him, "Get back in there, Tiger, for he hasn't even laid a glove on you." Well, by the end of the fourth round, things had gotten worse. Because by now his nose was broken and the cuts were wide open. And as he sat in the corner once again and the manager worked on him, as it was time to get back in the ring, the manager told him, "Tiger, get back in there, for he still hasn't laid a glove on you." Well, by the end of the fifth round, he staggered back into his corner, looking like a fountain of blood. And once again, as it was time to get back into the fight, the manager said to him, "Tiger, get back in there. He still hasn't laid a glove on you." By now, the boxer had gotten tired of hearing this nonsense from his manager. So he said to the manager, "Well, you better keep an eye on the ring. Keep an eye on the referee, because somebody is beating the tar out of me." The devil is also trying to do a job on us. Amen? For every Christian is in a spiritual battle, and Satan is determined to destroy us and destroy our faith. But young people and older ones, we need not fear, for God has given every believer, stay with me now, everything we need for victory. And this morning, I'm going to speak on the theme, mountain moving faith. In Matthew Gospel chapter 17, we find Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as many of you know the story, Jesus took with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John on what would become a truly mountaintop experience. And so I want to just make sure, just reread a few verses to make sure we have what was happening here. So turn back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 17 as we read the first 8 verses. Now after 6 days, Matthew's Gospel chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This was truly a mountaintop experience. For not only was Jesus' face shining like the sun, But Moses and Elijah, two of Israel's most revered leaders, had appeared. And to top it off, God declared from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." It was an amazing God moment, but Satan was unruffled. For while the excitement was happening at the top of the mountain, Satan was attacking the other disciples at the bottom of the mountain. Sometimes when we are on a spiritual high, we think that we have overcome the enemy. But I want you to know that here was this situation, this special God moment. They were on a spiritual high, but at that very minute, Satan was attacking the other disciples at the bottom of the mountain. Peter, James, and John were overjoyed by their mountaintop experience, but their excitement quickly vanished because once they got to the bottom of the mountain, Satan was on the attack. 1 minute they were on top of the mountain, and the next minute they were brought into the valley. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there where you're just rejoicing in all God is doing in your life? Things are going so well. 1 minute you're on top of the mountain, the next minute you're in the deepest, lowest valley. I believe there may be somebody here this morning who right now you're in the valley. Perhaps you're listening on Zoom or on the live stream, and right now you're in the valley. I want you to know that God has a word for you, because I want you to recognize that the God who has found you in the valley is the same God who can take you to the top of the mountain. Amen. Satan is relentless. So even when we're on a spiritual high, we need to remain vigilant. There's some right now this morning, you're on a spiritual high, but we need to remain, vigilant, for Satan wants to destroy our joy. So let's not forget this verse. We're going to put a verse of scripture on the screen that you know very well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read this together. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. He's not just trying to get a bite. He's trying to devour you. Young people, older ones, pay attention. We, as believers, we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant, because the devil wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. So this morning, I want to share with you three key lessons from this text. Here's the first lesson I want us to learn. Put this in your notes. We must know Satan's schemes. We must know Satan's schemes. Satan has several schemes, and one of the schemes he's using more frequently today is demon possession. Demon possession, you add that to your notes. Here we are in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 14 to 16. And when they had come to the multitude, verse 14, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord." So they were just on top of the mountain. As they get to the bottom of the mountain, this man meets them. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." The boy was suicidal and was falling into the fire and into water. Just imagine how you would feel if you were the parent. And although the symptoms mentioned here suggested he was an epileptic, the other gospels give us the full diagnosis. So turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, Luke's Gospel chapter 9, to find out what was the actual diagnosis. What was really wrong with this young man? Luke's Gospel chapter 9, verse 37 tells us, and here's how verses 37 to 42 read. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he's my only child." That's some additional information. This was man's only child, and behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. This was not epilepsy. And there are a lot of things that are going on that may seem to have a medical diagnosis for, but this was not a medical problem. It seemed to have been epilepsy, but the boy was demon possessed. And although many North American Christians believe there's no more demon possession in our hemisphere, listen, Satan and demon possession are growing rapidly in North America. This may surprise some of you, but Satanism and demon possession are real. I can tell you from first-hand experience. I won't talk about what's happening now, but I'll take you back to when during my teenage years, and I'll never forget how my father and some of the elders had to go to a home because this home was being attacked, and all sorts of things were being thrown at the house. And as the elders were there, all stones, there was nobody throwing the stones, but the stones were flying at the house. The iron jumped up off of the iron board. There was nobody there, but the iron jumped up off the iron board and came at the elders. Demonism is real. And although there is growing opposition to after-school Bible clubs in America, after-school Satan clubs are spreading all over America. This is the tragedy. We're opposing after-school Bible clubs, but approving after-school Satan clubs. And any school who tries to stop the agenda is getting sued. In fact, just last year, a Pennsylvania school district had to pay $200,000 to settle a case because they were trying to prevent a Satan club from opening in their school. But what's the attraction? And parents, I want you to pay attention. What is the attraction? Why are young people being drawn to Satanism? I want to put something on the screen that I got from the American School Board Journal. An American School Board Journal states that a satanic cult serves as an immediate antidote to loneliness while claiming to give power. It stated adolescents who experience feelings of alienation discover that Satanism may offer them validation, support, and direction. Did you get that? Let me say a word to young people. Young people, are you listening to me good? Teens, are you listening? Don't allow Satan to seduce you. Satan is coming at us from in all angles. He's coming at us through our phones. He's coming. Listen. Satan has been a liar from the beginning. He seduced Adam and Eve with his lies, and he's succeeding in seducing scores of teens today. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus warned that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And listen, the evil one, Satan, he makes himself seem so attractive. But Jesus has warned us that his mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I thank God that Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Amen. Young people, it's time to stop sitting on the fence. It's time to make a total commitment of your life to Christ today. But parents, don't miss three keys among the words that I underlined. There are three words that I want every parent to pay attention to. Satanism is very attractive, particularly to those experiencing, what is one of the words? Loneliness, alienation, and a need for validation. Satanism, this is what the American School Board Journal tells us, that Satanism, one of the attractions, it is particularly attractive to those who are experiencing loneliness, alienation, and a need for validation. This means that this is no time for parents to be disengaged from their children. And although we need to be aware of what our children are doing, please don't focus on becoming a spy. You see, parents are making the mistake of believing the solution is to become a spy. But the solution is to become engaged with what your children are doing. If you're not engaged and all you're doing is monitoring, you are regarded as the enemy. Parents need to take more time to engage. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We need to be in the relationship building business with our children. The big mistake parents often make is that we are so into our stuff. We make very little time to hang out with our children just to have some fun. For years, I sometimes talk to parents to find out, what do you do with your kids? When last were you on vacation? Oh, I can't afford a vacation. You are telling me foolishness. This is one country you can spend almost nothing and go on a vacation because there are some places that are so inexpensive. Oh, I can't afford. Oh, you immediately tell me about how this hotel is $400. The kid doesn't need you to go to a $400 night hotel. The kid just needs you to take them somewhere. Amen. It's time to slow down. It's time to get engaged with our children. If all you're interested in is to make sure they're getting good grades and participating in events that will make them good candidates for scholarships, watch out. For if we fail to develop relationships but want to control what they do and what they watch, are you still awake? If you fail to become engaged with your children, but all you want to do is monitor everything, you are going to be in trouble. There will be strong resistance. So I urge you to make the effort to create positive family memories. Can I be very personal? My wife and I are reaping the benefits of the investment we made when the children were young. Don't blow it. Invest the time. Invest the effort. Take the time off. Take the vacation. Go places with your children. Build memories. So when you get to my age, the kids will call and say, let's go to the Let's go watch this. Let's go do that. You will find that if you invest in the children when they are young, as you get older, suddenly they don't mind hanging out with you. Amen? They won't mind hanging out with you because you invested the time. But too often we're invested in building up resources to take care of them. And what children need most is us. It's not all the stuff. It's us. Our time. And so I challenge you parents, particularly those who are watching and you have young children, change course. Invest the time in your children. Amen. We must know Satan's schemes. But second, we must stand in the victory of Christ. We must stand in the victory of Christ. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 17. Then Jesus answered, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" These words were also being directed to his disciples who had failed to cast out the demons. For Jesus had given them authority and the power to cast out demons. Just look back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, in case you forgot. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called his disciples, 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? Power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and diseases. Jesus had given them the power. And so Jesus, one of the groups he's rebuking here, he's rebuking his own disciples for their spiritual failure. There is no good reason. So write this in notes. There is no good reason for our spiritual failure. For we walk in the resurrection power of Christ. Am I right about that? We walk in the resurrection power of Christ. Hold your finger in Matthew and let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Just let me remind you about a couple verses here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15, where the word of God says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is," come on now, verse number 19, God wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Listen, instead of getting comfortable with spiritual failure, let's stand in the victory of Christ. For God has given every Christian all the resources we need for spiritual success. Mom, Dad, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given you all the resources you need. And the power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. And so, listen, we must stand in the victory of Christ.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin.
I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.